The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Amen. And it's good to have people that can sing in the church, because that is not my strong point. But anyway, take your Bibles again, turn to Exodus chapter number 17. Here we have the story of Moses and the children of Israel. They are dealing with an enemy. We find here the enemy has come up on them, Amalek, the enemy, and the soldiers have come up against Israel to fight against Israel. Moses was pushed in a corner where he had to fight, and so he told his soldiers to go down, the men, the children of Israel, to go down and to take and to go into battle, and he's going to go up on the hill, on the hilltop, and he's going to look down, and he's going to be up there, and he's going to raise up the staff of God, and he's going to go up there, and with him being up there, God will give them victory. And so he goes up there on top of the hill. We find as he gets up there, the Bible says that he's up there. He raises up the staff of God, and as long as the staff is up and he's holding it up, there's battle going on and there's victory going on for Israel. But once he lowers his hands, we see in the scripture here, once his hands are lowered, all of a sudden the enemy is getting victory over Israel. And, you know, if you ever hold your hands up for a long time, it gets very tiresome. And I remember helping our church with, in a different church, we were building the auditorium, and we had these 12-foot-long sheetrock. The sheetrock, 12-foot, they're heavy. And sometimes you get somewhere where you have to hold this thing up, and you're on your tippy toes and your fingertips holding this sheetrock as a guy's trying to find the screws. All right, the screws are here somewhere, and you're like, you know, trying to hold this thing up. And you know, at first, when you pick it up, it's okay. I mean, it's heavy, but it's all right. You're holding it. But over a period of time, a couple minutes, you're wanting to let this thing go. Your arms are getting tired. Your arms are burning. It's not a very good situation. You know, you're holding something. Maybe you're doing something where you're holding something heavy, and you're just holding your hands, and how that thing is getting heavy, and it calls you to want to let go, want to put it down. And, you know, it's always nice when somebody comes up and offers to help you. And I'm holding that sheetrock, and sweat's going down my eyes. My eyes are burning. My nose is itching. I want to rub my, but I can't. I'm holding the sheetrock. My arms are burning. The sheetrock wants to fall. And all of a sudden, somebody walks up and says, "Hey, can I help you?" Man, those are like the most beautiful words when somebody offers to help you. And they come over and they push that sheetrock up so they can hold it. And then you let your arms down. Like, oh, that feels so good. Moses, he went up on the mountaintop, and he said, "I'm going to go up there." And if you would look back to the scriptures there, it says in verse 9, "And Moses said to Joshua, choose you out men and go out fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So he took the rod of God in his hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur, these two men went with him, Aaron and Hur, went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. That means they were tired. He was getting tired. He was getting a little bit weary, a little bit tired holding them, because there was a battle going on all day long, and his arms are getting tired. And we know, because of the scripture, the Bible says when he let down his hands, that Israel would start to lose. When he lift up his hand, Israel would start to win again. So we know that he let down his hands a few times, because that took place. And so we know that as this took place, the Bible says here in verse 12, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And so he sat down on the stone, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." And so Moses had some people, some servants beside him, and these men held his hands up so the battle can go on and they could have victory. Moses couldn't do it by himself. He needed help of these men standing beside him. And Moses knew right then and there that God sent these men to help him. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, Or those that are serving God, you're still in church, and you see somebody drop out of church, you're still in church, you're still serving God, somebody stops serving the Lord. The Bible says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What's the Lord saying there? What he's saying is that always be looking to lift somebody else's hands, because there might come a day, and there probably will come a day, that somebody's going to have to lift your hands. Somebody's going to have to encourage you. You know, encouraging words don't cost a lot. Encouraging words are cheap. I mean, you can just say them. What I mean by that is anybody can give encouraging words. There's no excuse why we can't encourage others. There's no excuse why we can't lift somebody's burdens by, hey, you know what, I'm praying for you. Hey, let me pray with you. Hey, let's talk about this together. Trying to help somebody. And here we find that the Bible says that ye that are spiritual, if you see somebody discouraged or somebody's down or somebody is having a struggle, hey, encourage them. Lift them up. Why? Hey, consider, because you might be there someday. You know, as we think of those in Houston that are struggling, and we see people all across our nation going down and helping these people, you know what they realize? And some of them even said this, hey, we've been through those kind of storms. We've been through those kinds of floods. Hey, we know what it's like. We're going to go down there and help them. And then there's others that never been through, but they're down there helping them. Hey, folks, can I say that there are people today that are going through struggles and trials and heartaches and hard times? And you know, I remember times, and even here at this church and other churches, where my wife and I were having some really hard times, and whether it be financially or emotionally or other things, and we didn't tell anybody. And we're just not that type of person. We just sometimes, maybe to a fault, but we kind of stay quiet about it. And we try to get the Lord's help with it, and I'll talk to preacher about it. But, you know, a lot of times, just because people are not complaining or people are not walking around with a frown on their face doesn't mean that they're not going through a hard time. Hey, you can blindfold somebody and take a beanbag and throw it out and hit somebody and hear, ouch, you know. That person you just hit probably is going through a hard time. If not, they are now. But, you know, more than likely, anybody in this room here, if I were to throw one of these little beanbags and hit you, I could say, hey, you're going through a hard time, aren't you? You know, it's kind of humorous, these faith healing TV preachers, they get up there and they say, well, God told me some of you here is having problems with your back. Who isn't having problems with their back, right? I just, over here, somebody having some problems with their kidneys. Who isn't having problems with the kidneys, you know? And the thing is, everybody's going through a hard time. You know, you can mark it down. Everybody can use a little more money. Amen. How many can use a little more money? Amen. I can use a little more money. And anybody here can use a little more encouraging words. Hey, you know, we all go through some tough times. And we get up. You know what preacher tells us? He teaches us. First off, he teaches us staff. You don't walk around with a frown on your face. You know, put on a smile. Spend your time encouraging. So a lot of times, you know, we're not going to show if we're having a hard time, or we try not to. You know, people around you are not going to always show that they're having a struggle. You know what? They might not be the one that's out here standing by the road saying, hey, I need a job, or hey, things are harder. I need some food. I'm hungry. There are people in our church that go through some very, very tough times. But you know what? Let me encourage you to do something. Just be good to everybody. Amen. Hey, it doesn't matter who they are. If you sit by somebody in church, hey, you know what? Be good to that person. Hey, you have somebody that you live with, your spouse or somebody lives with you. Hey, be good to them. Hey, the Bible says we're to be good to everybody. We're to love everybody. We're to encourage everyone. And so here we find the Bible says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Hey, you see somebody struggle, somebody stumble, somebody have a hard time. Hey, you know, you see somebody that misses church, or somebody has a frown, or somebody's not shaking hands, or normally they're sitting and down here and they're smiling, but now they're maybe up in a balcony somewhere and they're frowning, and hey, you know what? Go encourage them. Hey, you know, well, you know, they just need to grow up. No, you know, we just need to help them, amen? We need help lift them up. We don't know their burdens. You know, sometimes we see people going through hard times and we try to guess what the hard time is. You ever had somebody do something to you and you think they're mad at you? Well, you know, they said, they made this statement. I think they're mad at me. No, maybe it's just that they're having a tough day. They're having a hard day, and we take it as if they're mad at us. Hey, you know, instead of trying to guess what's wrong with them, you never go wrong by loving them, amen? Hey, you never go wrong by encouraging them. The Bible says here, if they're overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness. The word overtaken, I looked it up. That word overtaken means surprise. You know what? These people were surprised by their situation. Have you ever been surprised by a situation? Have you ever had something come in your life that you weren't expecting? You didn't ask for it? I mean, it's one thing to go down here to the best hamburger place in town, Burger King, and you order a burger, you know, not Whataburger, Burger King, you order a burger, and it comes out, and for the most part, Burger Kings are really good. I like Burger King, one of my favorite. Most of the time, they're really good, but I've been to a couple that weren't very good. And then sometimes I'm wondering why this place is still open. Because I ordered it a certain way and they got it wrong. You know, sometimes we order things and we're upset because we get it wrong. But it's one thing when you don't order it and it just comes out wrong, or something comes to you that you weren't even expecting. Hey, I didn't order a flat tire today. Why is my car flat? Hey, I didn't order for my job to lose my job today. Why did I lose my job? Hey, I didn't order this sickness. Why am I sick? Hey, I didn't order this trial in my life. Why is this trial in my life? Here the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken or surprised by some kind of struggle. You know, in Houston, for the most part, they were surprised. Yes, they were warned ahead of time. By the way, they couldn't all flee. There's a lot of people there. And most of them thought, well, you know, we've been through other storms, we'll probably be okay. Well, they didn't listen, so that's what they get. No, you know, how many times that we think things aren't going to be bad, then they become worse than what we thought. Hey, you know what? They were surprised by that storm. They say this storm was the worst storm they've had in a couple hundred years. I mean, nobody expected what came. I mean, it's worse than ever. And you know, folks, there are people that in their life that they didn't order a situation, they didn't ask for it, but a situation comes in their life, a problem comes, and you know what? The Bible says love on those people. Hey, encourage them. No one here plans on destroying your life. No one says, hey, I'm just going to destroy my life, but it happens. Sometimes people's lives get destroyed and ruined. Hey, you know what? A drunk, a man that, or a lady that's a drunk, that drinks every day is a drunk. Never planned on being a drunk. Right. They just say, hey, I'll just drink that casual drink at work. And hey, I'll just have that one drink for my nerves. And then they became a drunk. Hey, you know, that drug addict never planned on being an addict. Right. They just thought, well, I just take this drug because, you know what, I'm going through a hard time. Or, hey, I just want to try it because they said it's fun. They never planned on being an addict. And now they're a drug addict. Hey, that homeless man that never dreamed of being homeless. Hey, he just, you know, he lost his job, couldn't find a job, or maybe didn't go back to work and had some problems at home and didn't get along with somebody and didn't have a job, didn't have money. Now he's homeless. He didn't plan on doing that. That wasn't his goal and dream in life, but it happened. Hey, things come our way. A lot of times we don't realize it. We don't order it. We don't ask for it. It just comes. You and I, as God's children, never plan on getting away from God. Well, I don't plan on drawing away from God, but it happens. We get away from God. We never dreamed of questioning God or God's word, but it happens. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, he says, if a man be overtaken with a fault or surprise, it's going to come. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Moses knew the importance of winning the battle against Amalek. Here are some things that we need to do in our life that he decided to do. Let's look at what he did first. Number one, Moses decided to take the fight to the enemy. Hey, you know, there's an enemy that came. By the way, you have an enemy today that's going to come in your life, an enemy that's out to destroy you. Moses had an enemy. The Bible says that there then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose you out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod. So here, Moses go out to the battle. Hey, you know what? Moses chose to take the fight to the enemy. You know, sometimes we're going to have to take the fight to the enemy. Moses realized there was an enemy, and he realized that he couldn't sit still. He had to fight the enemy. I see, secondly, Moses decided he needed a clearer vision of the enemy. You know, the Bible says he didn't stay in the battle down in the valley. He got up above the battle. He got up above the crisis. He got up above the situation where he could see it. He got on top of the hill. He looked down. He could see the clear picture. He could understand the situation. He saw how dire the situation was. He could see clearly where the enemy was. He could see clearly where God's people were. He could see the battle. He could see when things are going good. And he could also see when things are turning for the bad. We find here Moses, the Bible says, tomorrow in verse 9, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Always position yourself where you can see clearly what's going on in life. Here Moses put himself up on the top of the hill. We see number 3, he understood that God would bring the victory. Do you know Moses, just because other victories took place in his life, he never lost track of who the victories came from. Do you know today, you're here today because God got you here today? It is not by your strength or your efforts that you're even in church today. The best of you. If you think in your mind, well, I'm one of the best Christians here, it's by the grace of God you're even here today. It could be that you're out of church, your life's a mess, your home is ruined. But we must understand today, it is by the grace of God that we stand. It's by the grace of God I stand here and preach today. It's not because of my goodness or because I'm some spiritual person. It's because of God's goodness and grace that every day he allows me to get up and to go for him and serve him. Hey, as feeble as I am, I try to do the very best for God. Hey, understand that God is the one that brings the victory. Understand, Moses understood it. The Bible says, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod in my hand. No, he said the rod of God in my hand. He gave God the glory. He said, I'm going to stand up there with the rod of God in my hand, and I want everybody to know, hey, this is the rod of God. Hey, you know, David, when he went down to Goliath, he said, Goliath, he says, I come. And then he said, you come to me with a spear and the sword and a shield and your army. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hey, I come to you with the God of Israel, his name. Hey, understand today that it is because of God that we have any victory. Hey, any goodness. You say, well, you know, God's blessed me with good health. Praise the Lord. Keep saying that because God gave it to you. By the way, if you don't have good health, hey, praise the Lord anyway. It doesn't matter what situation. You know, sometimes the Bible says a lot of times that though we were poor yet rich, though hungry yet full, though sad yet rejoicing. You know, a lot of times we see life a different way than God sees it. Sometimes we see life as money in the bank, health, everything going good, God is good. That's not always true. Hey, you know, God says, I don't always get all the glory out of that. I don't always get all the things I want out of that. Hey, you know, when Saul got saved and he became Paul, hey, he says, hey, I must show him what great things he must suffer for his namesake. No, for my namesake. Hey, he said, I want glory. You know, a lot of times God will give you what you think is best because that's the only way you're going to make it. The only way you ever stay in church. Otherwise, we get bitter at God. But God says, if you would mature and grow up, I could bring some things in your life that are not going to be pleasant. They're not going to be things that you like. There are going to be some struggles. There are going to be some heartaches. There are going to be some trials. But he said, through those things, I will get the glory. I will get the praise out of that. Hey, don't try to judge your situation, whether it's good or bad or God is good or bad. But realize that whatever victory we have in life, and if we just are here today and we're in church, that's a victory. And we're able to give a tithe and offering, that's a victory. And we're able to serve God and to go soul winning, that's a victory. Give God the glory. Hey, he said, here, I will stand on the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Fourth, he said, he understood or surrendered himself and surrounded himself, around godly people that would help him to lift his hands. You know, Moses was smart. Hey, Moses said, I'm going to go up on the hill, but he had two men with him. Man. Hey, he had these two men that walked with him. These two men that said, hey, we're going to go with the man of God up on the hill. Hey, we're going to stand with the man of God just in case he needs something. But he got these men of God. Don't ever feel that you don't need people around you. Don't ever feel that you don't need, I don't need anybody. I don't need friends. I can make it on my own. You can't make it on your own. Hey, you can't make it on your own without God because God is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you cannot make it alone without people around you. Well, I don't go to church. I have church at home. I watch it on TV. Well, yeah, well, where's all the church members? Where's all the friends? Where's all the people that are going to be there to help you when you're discouraged and down and help lift your arms? And here in the we find that Moses gets up on the hill and says, and Moses and Aaron and Hur. Hey, he had Aaron and Hur beside him. And Moses there, he gets up there. He lifts up the rod. Wow, there's victory going on. And it's all right there about his ministry. Wow, I'm doing it. Look at me. But eventually he realized, hey, it's our ministry. We got to do this together. You know, you can't do the things that you want to do for God without other people. Hey, you know, praise the Lord for good people. Praise the Lord for your spouse. Praise the Lord for your children. Praise the Lord for friends. Hey, the Bible says if you're going to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. You know, we got to, and by the way, the best way to have friends is don't look for fault in your friends. Right. As Brother Craig said Wednesday night, fault finder. You know, the quickest way to get rid of friends is find fault. Yeah. Fault. You know, that you can do that. You know, eventually you have nobody left. Well, I guess I'm the only one standing. I'm the best one. No, I have to understand that, I'm weak and I'm feeble and I need every friend I can get. Hey, you know what? You get these houses and the flooding that's over there in Houston right now. And, you know, people that get these sandbags, they'll take any sandbag. Even if it's a half a sandbag, give it to me. I'll take it. They understand the importance of that. Hey, you know, I understand the importance of a friend. And by the way, I want friends around me. But I need to also realize that I need to be a friend to others. Hey, when's the last time you reached out as a friend to someone else? When's the last time you sacrificed for somebody else? Here, Moses understood, hey, I need some men beside me. By the way, can I just tie this in here? Hey, you know, we have a pastor that needs some friends. Amen. Hey, your pastor needs his hands lifted up. Hey, I tell you right now, Pastor Wells, his arms get weary. He gets tired. I mean, many times I see him in his office, his eyes are red and he's always yawning. He's tired, but he goes on and on and on serving the Lord in the ministry. You know what? It's not just the staff's job to lift the hands of the man of God. You know what? It's your job also to lift the hands of the man of God. And how do you lift his hands? Drop what you're doing, amen? Many times we go, preacher, look at my problem. Sometimes it's a good thing. Just drop your problem and lift his hands up and encourage him and help him. We find Moses, he had two men standing beside him, one on the right and one on the left, and holding his arms up and saying, hey, we'll help you. And that's the only way that Moses could make it all day is to have those men holding them up. Amen. The only way you're going to make it as a Christian. I don't know very many Christians that make it without good Christian friends. And I'm going to tell you, it's sad. I watch Christians ruin friendships over silly things, over crazy things. They get mad at somebody. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, maybe sometimes getting disappointed or even getting a little bit bothered by something. But get it fixed. Amen. You know, and by the way, none of us here should be the kind of people that go around and say, well, you know, God called me to cause trouble. You know, God calls me to be the thorn in your flesh. No, I think we ought to strive to get along. We ought to strive to, you know what, you want the chair, have the chair. Hey, you know what, I was going to, you know, you can have it. You know, prefer others before myself. Yeah, you know, that's what a real Christian ought to do. Hey, love people. You know, always assume the better than the worse. Sometimes if we're not careful, we're always assuming the worse in people. Yeah. Somebody does something. Well, I just knew they're doing it because of this. They said that, but they really meant this. They gave me that. They looked at me this way, and I know they were thinking that. Why do we always assume the worst of everybody? You know, it would be a good thing to go through life to assume the better. Is always, you know, this person said, made a remark to me. You know, hey, that's a nice tie. Yeah, I know what he means. He's saying it's an ugly tie. Why do we have to say, why can't we just take it? You know, I got a lot of fault. Trust me, I got a lot of fault. But one thing is this. I don't try to do things on purpose to try to get something across. What I say is what I say. I try to be that way. If I say it's a nice tie, and if it's an ugly tie, I just don't say anything because I don't want to be mean. But what I say is what I mean, and what I mean is what I say. You know, there's no hidden agenda in my words. And the thing is, we have to understand is that, hey, you know what? I need to build friendship. I need to have people around me. I need someone to lean on. I need someone to lift my arms up. The battles of life will come What you do with to prepare for those battles will determine the outcome of the battle. Now, how can we take this situation, this story, and apply it to our life? Okay, here we go. Number one, quickly as I'm coming to a close. Number one, we must realize that we have an enemy. We must realize that we have an enemy. Satan is our enemy, and he comes in many shapes and sizes. Our job is to be alert and proactive. Satan will come, Satan will use many things to try to destroy us. Your greatest enemy, by the way, that Satan uses, you probably wouldn't guess it, it's you. Amen. It's me. Hey, my greatest enemy is myself. Your greatest enemy that Satan uses is you. He wants to use you to destroy yourself. Right. By the way, you make your own decisions. You decide to live for God. You decide to live for God or live for your flesh. You decide to go to church or to stay home and not go to church. You make that decision. You're your greatest enemy. You decide to pray or not to pray. You decide to quit or to continue to go forward. You make the decision. You decide to forgive or to harbor unforgiveness. That's you. You made that decision. You can be your greatest friend or you can be your greatest enemy. You decide to say kind words or you decide to spew out hate and bitterness. You decide to do what's right or you decide to do what's wrong. At the end of the day, our flesh can be the greatest enemy or our flesh can be the greatest blessing if we turn it over to God, amen, if God will work through us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 19, it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelt in me." I don't want to do it, but I end up doing it. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." See, if you're saved, the inner man delights in God. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death?" Our flesh is our enemy. And it, by the way, it's God's enemy. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." If he can, he'll try to destroy you within yourself, within your home. How many people, they drop out of church because of what? Discouragement. Say it with me, ready? Discouragement. Where'd that come from? "Well, they did it. No, you had to do it. You allowed yourself to get discouraged. You allowed yourself to get all worked up. "Well, I'm just all worked up. Leave me alone." Okay, you just worked yourself up. So you allowed Satan to cause yourself to get worked up, to get angry, to get upset. Hey, we got to be careful with the old flesh. The Bible says that we need to die to the flesh. We need to turn the flesh over to God. We need to understand that God is the only one that can give us victory. Don't let your guard down and be careful. Your flesh can be your biggest enemy. Secondly, decide to have a clear vision of your situation. Moses went up on the top of the hill. He looked down. He could see the situation. Always position yourself to where you can see clearly. You know, as the scripture says, "When I went to the house of God, then I understood therein." You know, many times we sit at home and we skip church and life is bad and things get worse. And because why? Because we're down in the valley. We're in the midst of the trouble. We're in the midst of the battle. We're in the midst of the heartache. And that's all we see is trouble on the right and trouble on the left. And it's hard and it's a struggle. But God says, hey, we need to get up above that. We need to get up on the mountaintop. We need to get above those trials and those troubles. How do you do that? You get a hold of God, amen. Hey, God says, hey, you know, just like it said Enoch, hey, Enoch, you come with me. I want to spend time with you. Hey, God wants to spend time with you, and God will take you, and he'll lift you above those burdens. He'll lift you above the heartaches. He'll lift you above the trials, and he'll say, hey, come up with me, and let's look at it together. Hey, let's look down, and let's see the battle. Let's see the struggle. Hey, realize it's Satan that's behind all this. It's not your neighbor. It's the devil. Hey, it's not the family member. It's Satan. It's not that person over there. It's the devil. Hey, the Bible says that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil workers of darkness. It's the devil that's out there that's trying to destroy our homes and our families. Hey, decide to get a clearer vision of the situation. You know, you ever been somewhere where you're trying to find your way and you're kind of lost, so then you climb up a tree? You ever done that as a kid? You climb up a tree, hey, there's the road. Now you can see clearly. Then you get back down and you head that direction. Many times we go in circles in life and we struggle and we have hard times and we're discouraged. Why? Because we keep walking in the valley. Sometimes you need to get alone with God and get up on that mountaintop so you can see clearly. Always position yourself to where you can see how God wants you to see. Number three, get God involved in your situation. The Bible says that Moses lifted up the rod of God. Moses made it very clear that it was God's rod and not his. We must acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. We can't win the battles on our own. But if we lift up God's word and lift up God, and Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If we lift up the word of God, we lift up God. Hey, God said, I will give you the victory, but I want to be part of it. Hey, would you give me some money, and I'm going to buy a company and invest in this company, build this company. Well, what company is it? Can I have any input in what you're doing here? Can I have some say in it? I want to own part of the company. You know, a lot of times we want to make decisions. We want God to invest, but have no say in anything we do. God says, I want to have part of it. Hey, I want to deal with you on this. Hey, I want to talk to you about it. I want to give you my input, the word of God. I want to show you what you ought to do. We need to make God part of it. And then lastly here, number four, surrender yourself or surround yourself around godly people. It is so refreshing to have godly friends who help lift our hands during trials. You know, every so often, maybe, you know, and I try to smile. You know, and sometimes, you know, I just get a serious face on. I'm doing something and maybe I'm not smiling like I should. You know, I need Carol's mirrors and constantly, you know, look at the smile, right? But, you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe something happened or maybe I'm not smiling like I should. And some of you come up and say, hey, you okay? You know, and by the way, they don't mean wrong. They're not saying, hey, you know, you're just such a bad Christian, you know, you can't even smile. No, all they're saying is, are you okay? Is there anything I could do for you? Hey, can I pray with you about this? I appreciate friends that do that. Hey, look for people. You know, as preacher said, look at their demeanor. If their demeanor is changing, hey, there's something going on. If the outward is changing, if they're always smiling, but they're not this day, there's something going on inside here. Hey, let's find out what's going on and try to help them. You know, it's so refreshing to have godly friends who help lift our hands during trials. It's one thing to have a friend to encourage you. It's greater, by the way, to be the friend that does the encouraging. As I want friends to be around me to encourage me, oh, I tell you what, it's so much better to be the friend that's doing the encouraging. Can I say this too? When you spend your time encouraging others, a lot of times your problems become very small. And many times you forget about your problems. You ever had a situation where you're hungry and you're sitting down to eat and all of a sudden there's a situation you have to go take care of and you forgot about your hunger? And later on you're like, I didn't even eat. I had it all planned and had the food out and you weren't even hungry anymore. You know, because at that time you're focused on you. You're focused on eating. But when something happened that drew your attention away, your attention went to that. Hey, let us focus on others and let us help others. Let's make it a practice to lift up the hands of God's people, the people around you. Hey, your family. Hey, those coworkers. You know, by the way, saved or lost, it doesn't matter. You can have some lost coworkers that are going through some hard times. You know what? They need to be encouraged too. Amen. Hey, they need their hands lifted up too. Hey, they need to know that it's going to be okay. Hey, let me help you out. Can I pray for you? Lift up your friends' hands. Lift up the hands of those around you, but also lift up the man of God's hands. Hey, you know, preacher comes back. The best thing you can do for him is not always complain to him. I'm not saying you are. I don't know if you are or aren't. But you know what? I know a lot of churches, preachers deal with a lot of complaints. A lot, you know, always complaining about this. And, you know, preacher, I need to meet with you because this person did me wrong and you need to know. Or preacher, you made this statement I didn't agree on. Or da, da, da. You know what our preacher needs is, you know, it goes beyond the church. Our community needs this church. You know, Mesquite and Dallas and Fort Worth and all around here needs this church, needs the gospel. And what we need is to get behind the man of God and lift his arms up and say, as his arms are getting weary, we need to get there. And he doesn't even realize who's beside me. He looks over and there you are. And it's like, wow, thank you. It's that encouraging word. It's that encouraging text. It's that no complaint. It's that smile. It's that amen in church. It's that handshake. Preacher, I appreciate that sermon. Even when we don't agree with something. And it's not doctrinal. It's just something we don't like. We don't agree on. So instead of going and complaining or questioning it, why don't you just say, you know what? I just appreciate our pastor. He's not perfect, but I'm not perfect either. And I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to lift his arms up, and I'm going to help him. You know, Moses, he was a leader that had to go forward for God, a leader to lead the people of God. But he had two men, Aaron and Hur, that lifted up his hands. Aaron and Hur had their own battles to fight. By the way, that battle going down there, they had relatives down in there. They had friends down in there. They were going through the trials too. But they knew this. If I lift up the man of God, if I lift up the things of God, hey, God's going to take care of my battles. And by the way, by them lifting up Moses' arms, do you realize their battle was won too? Not just Moses' battle, but their battle. Hey, their children were okay. Hey, they got to go back to their family. Why? Because they lifted up the man of God's hands. The question this morning is, who is prevailing? Is the enemy prevailing in your life? Is the old flesh prevailing? Well, you know, I just make myself sick, you know, because of all these depressing things. You know, why do you think about all those depressing things? Why don't you decide to get above those depressing things? You know, if you ever have a day where it's just cloudy and gloomy all week and you're depressed, you know, you can find airline tickets cheap. I mean, $50 airline, $100 round trip. $100, you pay more than that than if you go down the chiropractor or the psychiatrist down here. You pay more than $100. Pay $100, get an airline, tell them to get you above the clouds. Get above those clouds, see the sun. Wow, it's beautiful up here. Hey, realize no matter what you're going through that God is in control. God's in heaven. God says I could take your situation and make it better. Who's prevailing? Is the flesh prevailing? Is the enemy prevailing? Or is God prevailing? I can tell you right now, if you don't allow God to work through you, if you don't decide to make friends with the people that God gives you, by the way, this is who we have. I mean, this is it. This is who we are. You can't pick and choose. Well, I wish there was a different kind of friends. No, this is God gave you these friends. Love them. Hey, you know, friends are going to be different. Some friends live in nice homes. Some friends live in not so nice homes. Some friends drive nice cars. Some friends' cars break down when they try to come to church. But, you know, encourage them. Love them. And say kind words. You know what? You teenagers. And I thank the Lord for our youth pastor and his wife. Amen. They're doing a great job. Amen. They serve here. And, you know, sometimes when I think about our pastor and I think about our youth pastor, sometimes I wonder, do we deserve what God's given us? As teenagers, I wonder sometimes, as teenagers, do you really deserve what God gave you? I know we had a youth group come here, and David was talking to some of the teenagers, and the stuff that happens here, they wish they were having at their church. They wish they had it, and you have it. And sometimes we take the honeycomb, and we step on it, and we stomp it down, instead of saying, thank you, God, for what I have. Amen. You know, we ought to lift up the youth pastor's hands. Hey, you know, the music here is pretty awesome. I've been in some churches that people didn't get saved because the music's so bad. I wouldn't have got saved either. It was just horrible music. But you know what? Here we have a man that's leading good music. You know, you ought to lift his hands. Amen. Brother Bachman running our college, that's a lot of work. I know. I gave it up for him. Amen. It's a lot of work. But he's doing a good job. But you know what? Him and his wife can only do it for so long in their flesh. They need someone to help lift their arms up. Hey, you know, we're here with you. You know what? Brother Crutcher, Brother Craig, all of them. These staff that work here and all the different people that work here, they need someone to get up, run beside them. As they're running, get up beside them. Hey, who are you? And put their arms, hey, I'm here to help you. I'm not here to criticize you. I'm not here to give you a harder time. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we get people that are over us that God gave us We give them heartaches and hard times and struggles. We're pulling their arms down. What you ought to do is get behind them and lift up their arms. Say, you know what? I thank the Lord for you. And I tell you, if you do that, the struggles you're having, the battles you're having, you'll have victory as long as you stand with those beside you and help them to have victory. Your battles will be victorious as well. But when you pull their arms down, not only are you losing the battle, but you're hurting other people as well. Hey, who's prevailing? Is God prevailing? Or is the old flesh, sin, prevailing? I tell you what, we don't want to make room for the flesh or the devil. Let us decide today to put God first in our life, and let's make God supreme. Let's make friends with the people that God's given us. Let's forget about ourselves, and let us love on others and lift their arms up. When preacher gets back, he ought to be overwhelmed by the love of this church. Overwhelmed. Step it up. Do more for your preacher. Let him know that you love him. Man, I tell you, when you think about complaining to him and griping about something, just swallow it. Say, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to encourage him and help him. And I tell you, we'll get along further. We'll do a lot more for God if we decide to do that. Let's all stand, if you would. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.